Hi, welcome to The Left Brain Artist. I'm Suzanne Redmond. I started this podcast June 1st of 2018, and I've completed 52 episodes. That means I'm halfway through the year. Since I post two episodes a week, an artist interview and a small business episode, that means I've done 26 artist interviews. That sounds like so many to me, and yet the time has just flown. I've enjoyed talking to every single artist, and they've shared such interesting things, like Jennifer Love Gironda, who has created a piece of art every day for over 5 years. Or Craig McGinnis, who does so many art-filled things, including his job working for Fright Nights, a huge haunted house and kids' ride attraction that takes place for a few weekends every Halloween. Or how about Anthony and Trina Slade Burks, who started art shows in their home and now have a very successful business creating a few large pop-up galleries per year. Or Connie Solera, who created the 21 Secrets series of online courses that have been taken by thousands of artists over the years. Well, today I've got a different kind of interview, because today the interview is with me. I was contacted by artist Carrie Brummer, who heard of me through someone on her Facebook community page. Carrie formed a group called Artist Strong, where she helps artists embrace their creative interests. She contacted me to see if I'd like to work with her, and we decided, as a start, how about I interview her and she interviews me? My conversation with her is on episode 49 of this podcast, so you can go back and listen to that if you'd like. She interviewed me as a Facebook Live video on her Artist Strong group. I've changed that video to just audio, and that's what you're going to hear today. You can find her Artist Strong page on Facebook, and you can like it and follow it to see how she encourages artists and how they share their artwork for feedback or accountability. But for right now, let's listen to Carrie interviewing me. This is me, Suzanne Redmond.
Hi, everyone. It's Carrie here from Artist Strong. You're part of our Facebook group, Becoming Artist Strong. Welcome if you are new to the community. And if you've been a longtime member, I am still happy to have you here, too. I'm really pleased to announce our very first How to Be an Artist Creator profile. And today I have with us the lovely Suzanne Redmond. And I've mentioned Suzanne Redmond before in a little post before. I gave you kind of some background about her. She actually has a series right now she's working on that I've been following on Instagram that I really like. And I can't wait for her to tell you a little bit more about that. But she also has a really helpful podcast called the Left Brain Artist Podcast. And she feels it's her mission to help artists develop their left brain way of thinking to improve all aspects of their business. So thank you so much, Suzanne, for being here. I'm really happy to have you.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you here and start this inaugural chat on video. Boy, I'm not going to try to say that word very fast again. Inaugural.
Yes, the first one.
So tell us, when did you first realize your interest in the arts?
I had an interest my whole life, but I never thought I was an artist because my sister could draw anything she wanted. If you said draw a bird, she drew a bird. And I wasn't like that. And so I thought, well, I must not be an artist. But I was always doing things. So I was always making candles and jewelry and sand art. Do you remember sand art where you layered colored sand in little glass jars?
Yep.
So I did all kinds of things like that. And my sister really didn't do that much. And yet I thought she was the artist. So I thought that, I think that's kind of funny. But I'm brave enough to call myself an artist now. I've always done different things. And now I've been doing some painting and collage. And I like to take classes of anything I come up with. I like to take classes. I have ventured into the world of online classes where I've learned some painting techniques. And when I first started in the art world, so to speak, which was about 10 or 15 years ago in Palm Beach County, Florida, which is South Florida, where I live now, I was selling jewelry. So I was making jewelry and I did the whole art show circuit with the big tent outside, festivals, selling jewelry. But the painting is really what I've gotten into in the last few years. And that's a thing that I've been brave enough to try because it's different. I never had a background of never went to school. And so then talking about left brain, I went to school for accounting. So I'm an accounting nerd and an artist.
Yeah. And we can be both those things. So I've already hinted a few times about the wonderful series that I think you're just kind of wrapping up now on Instagram. Can you share a little bit about that work?
Yeah, sure. I have a strong sense of the history from my mother's side of the family because my mom is from Oregon. She was an only child. She had lots and lots of aunts and uncles, but hardly any of them had children. So she was just doted on by all these aunts and uncles. And consequently, she ended up receiving a lot of things when they would die because there weren't any. She didn't have a lot of cousins, even right. though she had a million aunts and uncles. Okay. And so I have lots of different things. And one of the things I have is a box of letters and cards that came to her mother, my grandmother. Okay. And these letters were written in 1918. So it's exactly 100 years ago right now. And I've had these letters for a while. My grandmother actually lived to be 98. And so she held on to them for 70 years before she died. And then my mother gave them to me. And they're so interesting because they're from another man. So they were written to my grandmother before she married my grandfather. He wrote them to her when he went to France in World War I.
Okay.
And he wrote her this letter, and I'll do the spoiler of the first one, but I think I'm up to 14. I'm doing collages using watercolor and pen and ink. And I've actually made copies of the letters, and I'm putting them on the collages. So that's my series. It's on paper rather than canvas. I wanted it to be easy to do, not necessarily quick to do, but something that I would definitely start and get all the way to the finish. And so I've posted one at a time on Instagram. Each collage is a partial, so a piece of the letter, because I can't fit the whole letter on a 8x10 piece of paper. I'm using cold press watercolor paper.
Okay, nice.
So I start with watercolor as my background. And so the first letter is Lieutenant Roger Hitchcock writing to my grandmother while he's in France flying for the U.S. in World War I. And he's so upset that she won't write back to him. And he says, "Why won't you write to me? Ever since I told you of my marriage, you just won't write to me." What? This man is married? And so it's him begging for a letter. I don't know. It's a big mystery. I don't know if he was a suitor. I don't know. I don't know a lot of the details, but I think it's fun to imagine what it may or may not be. And it's been fun for me to do a little bit of research online and find out more. So I've Googled him. I've Googled his family members. I've looked up what kind of plane he flew. I've looked up a lot of different things. So that's the start of it. I won't tell you any more spoilers, but it's on my personal Instagram account, which is Suzanne Redmond Art.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's like I got chills even hearing it. There's such a kind of magic to thinking about story from family and history and knowing there's this kind of, you know, we don't know all of everyone in our lives, right? There's so much more dimension to people that even we know now and interact with on a daily basis that maybe, you know, we don't know the whole picture. And this story is such a wonderful kind of testament to that and has such magic today. So I hope people can take a look on your Instagram.
Yeah, it does. And the funny thing is, I've had these letters since she died, probably 1989, something like that. Okay. So I've had these letters a long time, and I've always had it in the back of my mind that I wanted to do something with it, some kind of art. I did not want to actually cut up the letters, use the real letters. Yeah. I'm making copies. So I still have the collection. They're in a nice little box. So it's taken me a while to figure out just what I'm going to do. And I think it's funny that I finally figured it out exactly 100 years later.
Yeah. That just makes it even better. Yep. There's something very full circle about all of that. It's really nice.
Yeah. So it's been fun.
Yeah. It sounds like it.
Yeah.
So I'd like to also talk a little bit about your podcast. So let's switch gears here a little bit. So your podcast is called The Left Brain Artist. So tell me, how did it get started and kind of what kind of conversations do you have with creatives on it?
Well, I have been in the art world for, like I said, about 15 years. And when I first started selling my jewelry and doing the art show circuit and all that, I joined a local arts group. It's called the Wellington Art Society. Wellington is the city that's right next to the town where I live. And so I met artists from all over. And I realized that I love advocating for other artists more than I love trying to sell my own art. So yes, I did the whole art show circuit. And if anyone wants to buy my art today, yes, go for it if you want to. But I'm not actively trying to sell my art because I'd rather promote other artists. So I've gotten into that side of things. And I think that's because I have the left brain. I have, you know, many years experience in the business world prior to me going into the art world. And I have met artists from all over the United States because I used to go to art retreats. I went to, have you heard of, have you heard of Art and Soul Retreat? It's in Portland, Oregon and Virginia. And I went there for about 4 or 5 years to take different classes. And I met artists from all over. And then I was meeting artists where I live in Palm Beach County because I started helping with art exhibits and calls to artists and doing all these business things for artists. And I thought, well, how can I get the local artists to be known nationally? How can I promote them nationally? And how do I give a little bit more promotion to these national artists who may have been heard? You know, you've heard of a lot of national artists because we all do Instagram and Facebook and everything.
Right.
But you may not have ever heard them talk or never seen them. I remember seeing an artist on Facebook who I'd been friends with for a few years, and she suddenly posted a picture with her face, and I commented, how funny. I don't think I've ever known what you look like. So I decided to start a podcast, which is basically an online radio show, if you want to think of it like that. My son is 23 and he is a comedian and he listens to podcasts. So he was telling me all about podcasts and he said, you have to listen to this podcast. He knows we share the love of movies and things like that, actors, because he's an actor. So he said, oh, you have to listen to this one. You have to listen to that one. So he turned me on to it. And then the more and more I started to think, that's what I need to do. That's what I need to do is start a podcast where I interview artists. So what I do is I interview an artist once a week. It's every Wednesday. Podcasts, for those who don't know, are free. So when they say find podcasts on iTunes, you don't have to pay for it like you do a song. So podcasts are free. The individual episodes, they're called episodes. So I don't have multiple podcasts. I have one podcast, but then many episodes. The episodes stay online for a really long time. So if you come in and join my podcast now, and when I say join, that means subscribe. And so it will be downloaded to your phone every time a new episode comes. And again, subscribing, it's free. So, but if you come in today and I'm on episode 45, you can go back and listen to episode 1 and episode 10 and episode 20 because they're always there. So that's kind of how podcasts work. I started this in June 1st. I have 45 episodes because I also do a Friday episode, which is a mini business episode. So when I talk to the artists for about an hour on Wednesday, I take one thing that they mentioned relating to their art business, and I expand on it for about 10 or 15 minutes, just me talking by myself on Friday. So that's a combination of what I've learned from the artists talking about it, what I know from my years working with artists, and then a little extra research that I do. So examples of that are, let me see my list.
I like the Instagram one that I just listened to. I can't remember the name of the artist that was paired with.
Yeah, that was, let me think, I have my list right here. I interviewed Maria Tritico, who is a jewelry artist, and she's down by me, but she's getting known nationally. She's got some work that'll be in a New York City gallery in a week or two. But she mentioned that artists can use Instagram and check out different hashtags. So some people know how to use Instagram, some people don't. But she said there's a hashtag called call for entry. And you can look at that and you can find opportunities to display your art or enter a show or enter a contest all over the United States and Canada just by looking at what's in the hashtag call for entry. So that's how she found this gallery in New York that was looking for art. So here she is down in South Florida, and now her jewelry pieces will be in a gallery in New York City, which I think is fabulous. It just made me think, okay, people need to know this. Artists need to know that Instagram is the social media platform where artists go because it's visual. You can't do an Instagram post without a photo. Facebook, you can. You can do a Facebook post without a photo, but Instagram, by default, you have to do a photo. So the artists have just flocked to it, and that's where they can show a photo of finished piece, a work in progress, a technique, or a picture of themselves. So people know what they look like. They do videos. So my mini episode was about Instagram, and I kept it at the intro level, I think, because this was for people who have never done Instagram.
Well, and even as someone, I've been using it for probably a few years now, I thought it was still a really good reminder of kind of some of the steps you need to take. And even thinking simply about searching and following a hashtag that could give you information rather than looking for hashtags that just inspire you, which is what I'd been doing. So I'm following that hashtag now too. And it's wonderful to see all these calls to art now that I would never see otherwise. And it's kind of this fountain of information too that's available on Instagram that I didn't really even think to look for.
And a call for artists is a technical term, call for art or call for artists. So if you haven't heard that yet, that is a real phrase that's used in the art world. And that's simply the notice that somebody puts out saying, I would like some art to be put in my gallery. And then they have the guidelines. It may say you can submit up to 3 pieces. You have to do 1 photo, and the photo has to be 300 DPI, this size, whatever. You have to submit by October 31st is the deadline. So it'll give all the details. And I also did an episode on how to find and respond to calls to artists.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So look for that one too. So another thing about my podcast is I have a website, which is just my name, SuzanneRedmond.com. On one of the tabs, it says podcast. And then the 2 sub tabs are list of episodes. So you can see the entire list and you can just go through and say, oh, I've heard of that artist. Let me listen to that interview. Or, oh, that topic sounds really interesting. Let me listen to that. But then there's also a section called show notes. So a lot of podcasts will do show notes on their website. So if I interview Carrie, for example, here's your sneak preview. I interviewed Carrie and she will be on my podcast on November 7th. I will list all of her information on my show notes. So if you are a random person who's found my podcast, listen to this episode and you say, who's Carrie and what is Artist Strong? I've put links to all of Carrie's websites, social media, her Artist Strong, everything, so that then you can go back and you can follow that artist. You can find out more. And that's where the promotion comes in.
Yeah.
Going back to the show notes page. And I'll have photos of art that Carrie's made and photos of different programs that she's had. And so I try to tie all those things together so that anyone can look at it and they can now follow that artist. So the idea is not that you follow me forever. The idea is that I'm introducing you to a lot of interesting artists and you're going to find your own people to follow. Let me say one more thing about podcasts. You can find podcasts through iTunes, but also through any podcast app on your phone. So don't worry if you have a Samsung phone or anything else. You can find podcasts on Spotify, on Stitcher, on CastBox, and you may not have heard of those things, but those are simply podcast apps. So just go on your phone, search for a podcast app, and then you search for the name of my podcast, The Left Brain Artist, and that's where you find the individual episodes. It's a confusing term. People don't know what podcast means, but once you figure it out, they're pretty easy to find.
Exactly. Yeah. And once you start, it can be hard to stop.
Yeah, I hit it with Bluetooth in the car. So I listen to them when I'm driving around and then I use my headphones when I'm going for walks outside. That's when I listen to my podcasts.
Yeah, I love to do it while I'm painting.
I don't sit there and listen to mine all the time. You know what I mean?
No. I'm having great ones out there. There's a million. Yeah. Yeah, well, I listen to your podcast while I'm working on my painting, but good. Yeah. And I think it's really nice, especially if you're in the middle of a painting or some kind of work where you already know what you need to do and it's more about execution. I think the podcast is a lovely way to kind of be learning something and taking something in while also helping you pass the time when you're in that execution phase. I think it's harder when you're in the idea development and trying to kind of come up with a new part of the work. But if you know the task and you can work on it, it's a great way to listen.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I'd love to know, out of all, you know, you said you've had 45 episodes so far.
Yep.
What's kind of one or two big takeaways you've had for your own artist practice that's been kind of a big lesson or surprise from interviewing and talking to these people?
Well, there's so many surprises. I'm just amazed at how creative the things that these artists come up with. I'm going to mention a couple really quick. I'll mention this one artist. Have you ever heard of the artist Carrie Schmidt? She lives in the Seattle area. Okay. Carrie moved to Seattle because she had an illness that forced her to live in a cooler climate. So she chose Seattle. Unfortunately, Seattle's very expensive and she wasn't able to afford a separate studio. So she said, well, I've got my home or my apartment or wherever she lives, but she didn't have enough room to make her art. She ended up buying a used school bus and painted it just like her paintings. And that's her studio now.
That's awesome.
That's genius. Yeah. Yes. And so I just love the way the artist will come up with a solution to a problem. So not only is that her studio, but it's mobile. So she said, I can take it down to the beach and paint. I can take it to a park and paint, but she can take it to events and art receptions, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. And she licenses her artwork on products so she can sell products right out of the school bus. So I think that is just the coolest thing in the world. Another one I want to mention is I did a business episode, two of them that were kind of similar. Episode 2 was about looking for artist groups, because that was where I found other artists, was by joining the Wellington Art Society, which is where near my home. And then I did a later episode called number 18 that I called Find Your Art Scene. And I think that artists often we're artists toiling away in our home or in a table at the corner of our dining room, and we're by ourselves and we're not connecting. And we connect on the internet now, but we need to connect in person. And so that was the biggest thing for me, was when I joined an art group and I met other people like me. They had monthly meetings, so I would go to these meetings and see people, and they would have demos. They'd bring in other artists. And, you know, even if it was a person doing, throwing a pot on a wheel, which is not something I do, I could still learn from them because
exactly. They
would their business or how they're more efficient or productive or how they find buyers. So I love the idea of joining an artist group, and definitely it has helped me. And after I was in the Wellington Art Society, well, this is kind of funny, because of my accounting and business background, surprise, I got on the board of directors, and surprise, I became the president. And so I did run the organization for a while. But then when I knew my time was coming to a close, I wanted to meet artists throughout the whole county. And I keep talking about Palm Beach County because we're huge. We're like the biggest county geographically east of the Mississippi in the United States.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's lots of different art districts and different cities that we can get involved with. So then I said, okay, I've been a member of the Wellington Art Society for a while. I want to meet artists from all over my county. So I joined another artist group. And that's when I started to find art receptions to go to. So that's what I mean by finding your art scene. Get out there and go to the art receptions and have some cheese and white wine.
Yeah,
go exactly. Go out and meet other people and talk to those artists and say, well, how did you get your art here? How did that happen? well, how did you take such awesome photos of your art? That's one thing I can't do. And you just talk to people and you learn so much. So I would say that's the biggest thing that helped me, was joining groups and getting out there and just getting to know other people. And you see people around town, you meet them at other receptions. Back in September, we're kind of seasonal here. Our summer's a slow season. So then all the, we call them snowbirds, sorry. Canada come down to Florida and they start coming in September and October. And so September, we kind of had this kickoff weekend with four art events in one night, which is unusual, but they kind of all started at once. And it was so much fun to go to an art reception and you'd see all your friends. And then you'd say, have you been to that one yet? Oh, yeah, it's fabulous. Okay, well, that's where I'm going next. Okay. And then you go to the next one and you see more people. And
so great.
You know, yeah, a lot of places will have art walks where it's like maybe third Friday. Look in your own town. And I would just say Google art studios, cultural council, art societies, art associations, just put all those combinations of words in there and find out what's happening in your own town. And then you'll really, I think you'll expand as an artist, the more artists that you know.
I completely agree. That's really good advice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, as a side note, and kind of speaking about our left-brained abilities, I wanted to make sure you all know, especially for those of you who have already joined the circle, Suzanne's actually going to share some of her left-brain ability with us as well in the coming year, in the 2019 program. And we're kind of still figuring out what we want that workshop to look like or activity, but she's got some expertise around artist statements and is going to share that with us in the coming year. So I wanted you guys to know that too.
Yep. Yeah. Artist statement is important if you want to start showing your art in galleries or shops, because a lot of times they want your artist statement, and that's what they put on the wall, like in a little picture frame right next to your art. And that's the way that you're being introduced to the to the gallery. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is the very first episode, but I plan to ask this question to wrap up every conversation that I have now in the group. And so I'd love you to wrap up our inaugural conversation with the question, what does it mean to you to be an artist?
Oh, great question. Well, I think for me, being an artist means bringing that artful view into all aspects of my life. So for me, I feel that I'm different. I'm different than the average Joe. And I think everybody should think that way about themselves. And I like to be different and artistic in all aspects. So it might be how I dress. It might be, it's often, I don't know if you can see the jewelry that I wear, because I make a lot of my own jewelry. It's how I decorate my home. It's how I spend my free time. I love going to art receptions on the weekends. I love listening to podcasts and listening to the artists, or, you know, podcasts can be any subject in the world. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think of being artistic, it means being an individual and not being afraid to let people know what you're truly like and to be different. And I'm not different and weird and trying to put it out there that I'm a strange bird, but I'm proud that I will wear something that might be a little bit different than the next guy, or that I wear a different necklace every single day of the week. Yeah. Because that's me. I make jewelry and I love to do that. And so that's kind of all part of me, my persona.
I love it. And I love that you say that. And I think it's a really good reminder to all artists in this community, because that's also part of finding our unique voice as artists, is owning who we are as an individual. And the more we can own that in our day-to-day lives, it's going to show up in our studio and in our product as an artwork as well.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today live, Suzanne, and sharing your wisdom with the community. I really appreciate your time.
Well, thanks for having me. This has been really fun.
Thank you again, everyone, for being here. And we thank you for your time and hope you have a really good rest of your day.
Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye. One thing that Carrie mentioned at the end of this interview is her website offering called The Circle. The Circle is a 6-month mastermind community for artists who wish to find their voice and share it with the world. This program starts January 4th, 2019. so there's still time to sign up if you're interested. You can find all the details on Carrie's website, artiststrong.com. I'm not going to include any takeaways for this episode, but I will mention that you can find photos of my artwork on my personal Instagram, at Suzanne Redmond Art. I've also posted photos of the collage letter series that I talked about on this interview with Carrie on that Instagram account. If you're interested in following the story of the letters that my grandmother received in 1918, go back to the beginning so you can read them in order and you won't hit the spoilers before you've read the background. The first collage I made for those letters was an Instagram post on October 14th, and the 16th and last collage was posted on October 31st. When you look on my Instagram, they are the art pieces that I've put into black frames. I also have an Instagram account for this podcast, and that's called @theleftbrainartist. Feel free to follow both of my Instagram accounts. I also have a Facebook page called The Left Brain Artist. If you're enjoying these podcast episodes, please go on iTunes and leave me a review. Thank you for listening to the Left Brain Artist podcast. I'm Suzanne Redmond. See you next time.